The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 56. Please turn to page 87 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. Amen. I have told you last week that to praise God means to glorify God, brag and sing about him, and confess that you will be ruled by him. Regarding the means of praising, we can either praise his name on high or do so by lowering ourselves when we praise the Lord. Every end of year, each broadcasting networks host entertainment awards, acting awards, or other types of awards ceremonies. When a winner is announced, people give a standing ovation for the winner. People who give standing ovation is acknowledging that the winner had exceeded them when it comes to entertainment, hosting a show, or acting. That is an act of praising the winner. A good example of lowering myself to make someone high is bowing. When I bow to someone, it is not quite right to bow from a higher position than that someone. The lower the position I bow from, the higher I make that subject of praise. But if I bow from on the table while sitting the person down on the floor, it'll only be an act of mocking that person. Also, when we say we praise God, what about God are we praising exactly? We sing through our words and lives about God's presence and his doings. And we confess about God's nature, meaning God being God himself, through our words and lives. If we confess, "God, thank you for pulling me out from the mess, the secular world, even though I do not understand what eternity meant, for I was so into the worldly things. God, thank you for guiding me to the right path every moment of crisis in life, and for covering me in the sheath of life and protecting me. God, thank you for stopping me to tell me it's not right whenever I try to run towards the path of desire and do wrong." We are singing of God's presence and his doings. And if we say, "God, you are truly the merciful and the enduring one, for you have never given up on me and guided me through, even though I have cursed the world so much, insulted you, and struggled so hard to keep away from you." We are singing about God's nature, of God being God himself. Of course, these both cases aren't separately done. They are done together. When we recognize the history of what God has done for our lives, we meet with the God of love. And the moment we meet with the God of love, we remember about all those things He has done for us. And at times when we realize how much terrible we are, we meet with God who is great. And at that moment, we discover our miserable selves. Today's passage is the Magnificat, or the Song of Mary. Mary confesses in verses 48 to 49 of why she praises God and reasons why He is pleased. For He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Mary sings that God has been mindful of her humble state, and that He has done great things for her. In other words, Mary sings of God's doings, of what He has done unto her. Her song continues as follows, the latter part of verse 49 to 50. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Mary sings of God's nature, of God being God Himself. Above all, she sings of God's holiness and His mercifulness. Mary does not stop at just praising about what God has done, but she praises His nature as well. This is also very important in our lives of faith, because maturing and deepening of faith means to understand who God is more deeply and more broadly. It's easy to focus our lives of faith on what God has done for us and what He has given to us. But doing only that will not mature our faith. But what's more important than that is what's happened to us or what's given to us is who gave them to us. The more we know about God, the more we can give praise to Him and give our everything to Him. Let me read verses 46 to 50 from today's passage again. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation." The most frequently used words in these five verses are first-person singular pronouns such as me or my. Faith always starts with the relationship between me and God. It expands into the relationship between me, the community, and God, and then elevates into a relationship between me, the society, the humanity, and God. Mary's song is closely related to Hannah's prayer. Hannah was unable to bear a child. Her husband, Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah, had children. So she probably must have thought that she was an infertile one. Then, at last, Hannah was able to bear a child with the help of God. Hannah's prayer of praise, after giving birth to Samuel, is written as follows in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance." Hannah also confesses God in first-person perspective. Mary's song and Hannah's prayer resemble each other content-wise and tone-wise. Mary took in Hannah's song of confession of faith like her own and confessed them in her own words. Only when our confession of faith is honest and clear can we mature to be more sincere Christians. When David was able to get away from his enemies' grip and King Saul's chase, he sang towards the Lord as follows in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 2 to 3. He said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation. He is my stronghold, my refuge, and my savior. From violent people you save me." David also confesses about God using first person. In these two verses, "me" or "my" appears as many as 12 times. King Saul selected 3,000 soldiers and had them follow him around in order to capture David, his subordinate and son-in-law. Even today, 3,000 soldiers is not a small number of men. So imagine how big of an army of 3,000 men must have been 3,000 years ago. David went to Achish, the king of the Philistine city of Gath, which was an enemy country, to escape from King Saul. But then he realized it wasn't safe there either. So he ran away, acting like a madman, making marks on the doors of the gate, and letting saliva run down his beard. After all that, how could he not confess about God in first person when God has saved him from such troubles? This was why David fully entrusted himself to the Lord and confessed that he will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Apostle Paul also confesses of the Lord as follows in Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy." To Paul, the church of Philippi was special. When Paul was on the second evangelical trip with Silas, the Holy Spirit had prevented them from spreading gospel in Asia Minor. And so they tried to head for Bithynia, but the Holy Ghost had stopped that as well. Then one day, Paul saw a vision of a Macedonian saying, "Please come and help us." And he was convinced that this was the guidance from God and went to Philippi. But no one was waiting for Paul's party there. Paul helped to cure a possessed female servant who told fortunes. And in return, Paul and Silas were badly beaten and then thrown into jail. Still, Paul and Silas prayed and gave praise to God in the jail. This was the opportunity for the prison guard and his family to get baptized. And this was how the Church of Philippi was started. All of these are the truly mysterious works of God. So when Paul later wrote a letter in jail in Rome, thinking of the Church of Philippi, he wrote, "I thank my God." Paul also confesses about Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Paul confesses here, surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Peter would have also confessed that Christ Jesus is worth everything to me, and said, "I was born and raised my whole life to be a fisherman. So I was to someday end my life as a fisherman." "But you have come to me and made me a fisher of men." Matthew and Zacchaeus would also confess that Jesus Christ is worth everything to me and say, "I lived my whole life as a tax collector, exploited people, and lived a life of slave to money. But my life has been renewed, and I was given an eternal life through Jesus." Before meeting Jesus, Paul thought his life was a worthy one. He was a legitimate Jew. He may have been born and raised in Tarsus, but he knew the Hebrew language. And he was a Pharisee who strictly abided by the Jewish commandments. Furthermore, he studied under Gamaliel, a great scholar of the time. He firmly believed that such things made him a worthy person. He considered Jesus of Nazareth shallow and insignificant. That was why he thought it suitable to imprison those who followed Jesus and went to Damascus to catch Christians, only to meet with the resurrected Jesus on his way. In fact, Jesus met with him and took Paul in as his apostle. That was how Jesus of Nazareth became Christ Jesus my Lord to Paul. Confession of faith is very much important to us as well. We need to ask and answer to ourselves, who is God to me? And what kind of relationship do I share with Jesus Christ? Every Sunday, we confess our faith as a church community through the Apostles' Creed. In Korean, it starts with, "God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, I believe in you." In English, it starts with, "I believe." This means that the faith of our church as a community is built up on each and everyone's individual confession of faith. When we confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed, we all close our eyes. This might be because we want to avoid making mistakes while confessing it out loud. But it'd be more right to open our eyes than closing while doing so. When someone asks me, "What do you believe about the Trinity God?" and I answer, "I believe that God the Father Almighty is the maker of heaven and earth, and that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He died and then rose again from dead for us. I also believe that the Holy Spirit is God the Holy Father." With my eyes clenched, it might actually seem more strange. It is best to look into the eyes of the questioner and answer, clearly yet slowly, "I believe that God the Father Almighty is the maker of heaven and earth. And I believe that His Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to save me from my sins. I also believe that the Holy Spirit, who is God the Holy Father, is here with me right now to guide me to the truth." I use the Apostles' Creed and Thomas' confession to Jesus as my confession of faith. After Jesus died on the cross, his disciples were scared and locked the door from the inside, even though Jesus was already resurrected. Jesus had told them that he will rise from the dead on the third day, but they all have completely forgotten about it. Jesus appeared among the terrified apostles and comforted them. But for some reason, Thomas was not there. Later, other disciples told Thomas they've seen Jesus. But Thomas did not believe it. Instead, he insisted that he will not believe it until he can lay his finger in the print of the nails on Jesus' hand and the holes on Jesus' side. 8 days later, Jesus appeared in front of them again. Then he showed his prints of the nails and scars from the spears. This is when Thomas confessed as follows in John chapter 20, verse 28. Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." In Korean, it is written as a declarative sentence, but in Greek, it is written as an exclamatory sentence. More precisely translated, "Ah, my Lord. Ah, my God." When we say that Jesus Christ is my Lord, it means that we are His servants. A servant always has a master who buys and pays for him or her. So, Jesus Christ is my master who paid for me with His blood of eternal life. Also, a servant does not follow his or her own will or plan, but follows the master's will and plan. I also still have a long way to go, and I wish to live a life of obeying to the wills and plans of my Lord, not those of mine own. And when we say that Jesus Christ is my God, here, God means creator, and so it becomes a confession that Jesus is my creator. Just like a maker knows best about what he or she has made, Our Lord has created us, so He understands us best, which is why we believe that He will guide us to the best path. Thirty years ago, the hidden books used by each church in Korea all differed. So, if you look into the order sheet for the union gathering, it was written number 000 of reorganized hymn book, number 000 of the new hymn book, or number 000 in the joint hymn book. And then in 1983, the unified hymn book was published, so the Korean churches were finally able to use a single version of hymn book. Number 310 in the hymn book is called I Know Not Why God's Wondrous Grace. The first verse goes like this. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me He hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for His own. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Hymn number 310 is composed of four verses, but this song was originally consisted of five verses. When making the unified version, verse 4 was taken out and was replaced with verse 5, and it still consists of four verses in the newly reorganized version that we use today. The original verse 4 goes like this. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me, or weary ways of or golden days. Before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. A person who can praise to God from deep within the heart is someone who offers his or her entire life for God's presence and for God being God Himself. Did you ever get lost when you went to the zoo or a theme park with your parents when you were young? When a child gets lost at a theme park where there are millions of people, I am sure the child will also try hard looking for his or her parents, but it's incomparable to how desperately the parents look for their child. A lost child may be fed meals or snacks by the police officers at the police stations and play, but the parents will go around searching for their child, almost forgetting to eat at all. If you turn to Luke chapter 15, it mentions about the parable of the lost son. The younger son finally remembered his father when he realized that he was out of money with no one left to help him. But his father waited for the son, worrying about him from the day he left home till the day he came back. God is always doing more than enough for us, and is always our Lord. Though we may not realize this at each and every moment of our lives, looking back at our past, we will all come to acknowledge that God has searched for us so many times and worried about us so much. That is why we can give ourselves to God, even if our life's journey in 2015 may be like a highway. And that is why we can place ourselves with God, even if our lives are like being in the dark woods or a plane with no path at all. The more we realize this, we will sing the praise deep inside our hearts, just like Mary did. Let us pray. Father God, Mary's confession that you have been mindful of her humble state and that you have done great things for her is the very confession we make. You have been mindful of our humble state and did great things for us. Mary's confession that your name is holy and that your mercy will extend from generation to generation is also our confession. God is always holy and merciful to us. Let us be Christians who fully dedicate ourselves to you, God. Just as you have been my Lord, my God, to Mary, Hannah, David, and Paul, so that they have become the pathway to show your works, and you being you yourself, please be my Lord and my God to us, so that we may become your tools to show God's work and God being God himself to this world. Allow us to place our entire lives with you, God, so that our lives can serve to be the music scores that praise you, and that our bodies become the instruments that sing your voice, no matter what lies ahead before us this year and throughout the rest of our lives. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.